Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This afternoon, I'm going to discuss the old man that Paul elucidates in Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking at one particular verse, but I'm going to start at verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 7. So Romans 6, verses 4 through 7. So before we begin our study, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us with insight into your word. We know that our lives must be free of sin, and we must be filled with the Spirit in order to have maximum perception of your word, Lord. Indeed, it is only when we have confessed our sins, Lord, and turned our back on sins, and we come before you with hearts that have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus, that we are allowed by the Spirit, Lord, to have maximum perception of your word. We do thank you for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, our High Priest, amen. So in Romans chapter 6, Paul elucidates for us very important truth that as believing ones, or as the constantly believing ones, we must not only intellectually comprehend, but receive into our spirits. It is through the intellectual apparatus that we intake the word, but it is by faith that the word that we study or hear is transformed and becomes usable to us as stored doctrine. So we have to remember how this process takes place. And so the Roman document is Paul's soteriology. That is his doctrine of salvation. And so we are given an opportunity to look into the deep mind of the Apostle Paul as he was taught by the Holy Spirit. Paul had to yield his mind to the Spirit of God in order to receive the word. This is why in Galatians 1 we read that he spent considerable time in Arabia so that he could be with God, so that God could talk to him and develop him and teach him his word. So Paul would have a maximum perception of doctrine in his spirit. We cannot share what we do not possess. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We are to lay up, we are to store up the word. So the word becomes usable doctrine, and we have a frame of reference for ourselves. And so doctrine organizes our spirits. Doctrine organizes our minds. The living word of God organizes our minds the way they must and supposed to be organized. So when in the New Testament, when the apostles call themselves servants of God and of Jesus Christ, in the Greek, it is bond servants. That is, one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. This was their understanding of who they were. So as the apostles, that is, apostello, the sent ones, they were sent by the Spirit of God to teach or to herald the good news of grace. Now, please keep in mind, in the Word of God, in the New Testament, the gospel is heralded to those who are not saved. But when one becomes a believer, then believers must be taught the word. The believers are taught the word so that they can grow up into him in all things, so that they can grow up in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are three important words that I would like for you to understand in the New Testament. The word agape, John 3:16, love is a noun of action. Grace, katas, in the Greek New Testament, is a noun of action. And pistis, that is faith, is also a noun of action. I want you to understand that there are very few passive verbs in the New Testament, very few. And please keep in mind that God commands a belief. That is, the gospel, individuals are commanded to believe the word of God, that is the good news of grace, because of his intrinsic and inherent veracity. God, Titus, according to Titus chapter 1, God as to his essence, God, as to his nature, cannot lie. So, the thing that I want additionally to point out is that Paul does not teach that the old sin nature exists side by side with the new nature. He does not teach that, and neither does John, neither does Jude, neither does Peter, neither the writers of the four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, and then the Gospel of John. We do not find this teaching in the New Testament doctrine, New Testament doctrines. And so I want to emphasize what the Word emphasizes. And so this is what Paul writes in Romans 6, beginning at verse 4, quote, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Listen to the language. Speaking of us collectively, that is those who comprise the church. Okay. Paul's great document on the church is his letter to the Ephesians. And Ephesians treats the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the ecclesia. It is the letter to the Colossians that treats Christ as the head, the kephale, the head of the church. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. I love that. That word glory, kabod, the glory of the Father. I love that. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Walk, that is, order our steps, order our behavior in newness of life. So, and here the word is a newness, a qualitatively different life, a qualitatively different life. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, and please read the first part of Ephesians 2. Paul wrote that we were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're familiar with the word ontology, there Paul elucidates the death ontology, the thanatos ontology, wherein the believers, we once were. Paul wrote, we were dead, past tense, in trespasses and in sins. Now, And so Paul goes on here. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Remember when Jesus brought back Lazarus? What did Jesus say when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? Lazarus stood up. And then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That is, take the grave clothes off of him. The grave clothes were indicative of the past, of the old life, the life of death, the life of ruin, the life of spiraling decay, the life of shame. Loose him and let him go. The blood of Jesus Christ has loosed us, luo, that is, has loosed us from our sins. Please read Revelation chapter 1. We are loosed out from our sins. The wages, the payment of sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, salvation is God's gift to us. And if you read Paul thoughtfully, if you read Paul, that is, as you go and confess your sin before God, please read 1 John 1:9, and because you cannot walk with God and have sin in your life. You have to confess your sin, and don't pretend it's not there. We confess homologeo, we agree with God that we have sinned. We name our sin. We confess our sin. We agree with God that we have sinned, and then we move on so that we can maintain being filled with Spirit. So, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, present active participle, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be made to cease, not destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Very important language. The Greek has peleos anthropos. Peleos means that which is ancient. We get our word paleontology from this word. That which is ancient, that which is worn out. Peleos anthropos is crucified. Notice the verb is crucified with Christ, our old man, our peleos anthropos, is crucified by the flesh with its affections and lusts if we are to effectively follow Jesus Christ. One cannot follow him effectively if one has not crucified the flesh. Please read Galatians 2:20. Because we have been partakers of the new anthropology, of the new life in Christ, we must walk differently. We must act differently. And that is, the life that we live out is the life of Christ himself. Peter writes that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. What is this all about? About living a life before God that is honoring to God and glorifying to him. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.